Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John. Book of John. Let's stand together, if you're able. The book of John, chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 30. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for what this day means to us. A day to worship you, a day to honor you, a day to remember all that you have done for us. Lord, thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, now bless, we pray, these that are here. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. On Wednesday, May the 17th, as you see in your bulletin, Brother Landigan and his wife Nomi will be reporting of their work in Cambodia. And it's been our privilege as a church to help support them for a number of years. But it will also be our privilege to have Brother Thomas Bui and his wife Kiza with us. Let me tell you a little something about Thomas's mother. Some believe that a soul-touching picture that circled the globe in 1972 hastened the end of the war in Vietnam. Now, obviously, for some of you, you were not alive in 1972. For people like my wife and myself, we had just graduated high school, and I was off to Texas for my first year in college. The Vietnam War would soon be over. The picture that circled the globe was taken by a young 21-year-old Associated Press photojournalist named Nick Ut, U-T. The picture showed one South Vietnamese soldier and three children. If you are old enough, you will remember the picture of a naked girl running down a road screaming after a discharged napalm bomb exploded in her village of Trang Bang. That girl, 9-year-old Kim Pluck, had ripped off her burning clothes and was suffering life-threatening burns on her left arm and back. The journalist rushed Kim to the nearest hospital, where she was given up as hopeless. But God. That girl, if you remember in that picture, is the mother of the young man that will be coming to be with us on May 17th. The family members had her transferred to the Bursky Burn Clinic in Saigon, where she underwent 16 operations over the span of 14 months. Over the next 10 years, Kim would enter medical school and graduate. She would search the public library for any and all religious books, seeking the answers as to why. She had been raised to believe that there were many gods and many ways to heaven, but all the religious books only served to confuse her. They seemed to be roads to nowhere. Then among those books, she found a New Testament. In reading the Gospel of John, she read, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. A few months later, God allowed a distant relative who was a Christian to visit her family in communist-controlled Vietnam. She had many questions for him, and he invited her to a gospel-preaching church, which was having a revival meeting. Thomas writes, "My mother realized that she had no hope outside of Christ and accepted him as her personal savior on Christmas Day of 1982 at the age of 19. 6 months after she was saved, the government shut down the church, throwing the pastor and his assistants into prison. In 1992, Kim married Tuan Bui, and they spent their honeymoon in Moscow. On their way to Cuba, from Moscow to live, their plane was scheduled to refuel in Canada. And during that 1 hour stop, they stepped out by faith and defected in Gandor, Newfoundland. Kim's new husband was saved a month later at a Baptist church in Toronto, Ontario. There's much more to her story. I don't know how much Thomas will tell us of that story. But today, Kim and her husband are members of the Faithway Baptist Church in Ajax, Ontario, Canada. And her son Thomas will be with us on Wednesday, May the 17th. I hope you'll be with us that day. That they might believe. Verse 30 says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus." Not only did Jesus die on the cross and was buried and then rose from the grave, but during his 3.5 year ministry was full of great and wondrous miracles. He healed hundreds, yea, thousands of individuals. He gave sight to the blind, cleansed the lepers, and made the lame to walk. And the list goes on. He cast out demons and ministered to children. He fed the thousands physically and spiritually. He was love incarnate. Yet as the Lamb of God, his main purpose for coming to earth was to be a sacrificial lamb who died for our salvation. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 21. "And after these things..." After what things? Oh, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after showing himself to the disciples in the upper room the first time without Thomas and with Thomas the second time, showing himself to those on the road to Emmaus and the other appearances, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. How does that sound to some of you? Some of you like to go fishing, right? They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. I've been fishing twice in my life, probably to the consternation of my wife, who would like to go fishing. And I'd let her go fishing with you if you'd like to take her. But I've gone fishing twice. I don't see any people raising their hand, Donna, to take you. But the first time I went fishing, every time we cast in the line, we caught something. And I was so proud. And we took them home. And I ran upstairs, up on the porch and to show them to my mother, who was not so proud. And she said, get a shovel, go over in the field, dig a hole and put them in the ground. I thought, that's not what you do with fish. The second time I went fishing, well, nothing happened. I caught nothing. Those are my two experiences of fishing back when I was younger than 10. Don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for Donna. But we find some thoughts here. Jesus has been absent for a while. And now he reappears in a grand fashion. Notice verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. 6 men had gone with Peter to go fishing. Not with hook and line, but with nets. And verse 3 simply says that they caught nothing. Now, if you're a fisherman and Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John had fishing as their occupation, they would know how to fish. They would know where to fish. And yet after a long night, they caught nothing. Do you think they were discouraged? Notice that they had the boat. They had the net. They had the will. They had the strength, and they caught nothing. In the time we still have left, 4 brief thoughts. There is the confession, the obedience, the acknowledgement, and the fellowship. How embarrassing it must have been to tell a landlubber that they had caught nothing. Sometimes when walking over here at Riverland Park, I will see people fishing. I don't believe I've ever seen anybody catch anything. Not that I'd want to eat anything out of the Clinton River. But we find that people fish and you wonder, why do they fish? Well, it's to catch something, isn't it? You know, may I say this? It is embarrassing, I'm sure, to the person who is fishing to tell someone walking by when they ask the question, have you caught anything, for them to say, no. They didn't know who Jesus was yet on the shore. Of course, they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't recognize him there on the shore when he asked the question, have you any meat? But we find in verse 6 their obedience. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Now, I don't know what the difference would make. If you put it on the left side of the ship or if you put it on the right side of the ship, I mean, what's the difference in the distance between these sides of the ship? It's not like they were very big. And yet they did what was asked. This man on the shore says to cast the net on the other side of the ship. Why would they do that? Why did they say, you know, sir, we've been at this all night long. We are tired. We're not going to do that. And if you want to get a boat and go out and throw it on the right side, well, you do it. But that's not what they did. For some reason, they were willing to listen. And they cast therefore. They took the net and they hurled it out into the water. Now, I want you to think about this. They'd been up all night long. You take the net and you hurl it out. Do you think it would be heavy? Especially now that it's wet. And then they have to start bringing it in. And all night long, throw the net out. Pull the net back. Nothing. Okay, the first time you say, all right, let's just move over a little bit. They're over there. They throw it out. They begin to pull it back. At some point in time, Andrew or Peter or James or John or one of the others say, oh, there's nothing again. Let's go back. I'm tired. Do you think that happened? I think so. And Peter probably said, nope, let's throw it out again. And out they threw it again. Over and over and over again. Their arms are tired. Their backs are sore. They're tired of bringing this net back into the boat. It's wet. It's heavy. What do they do? And then some guy yells from the shore, "Hey, have you caught anything? Do you have any meat?" "No, we've caught nothing." "We'll throw it on the other side of the ship." And they did. They did. We find that there was the obedience. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes, as it says there in verse 6. But then comes the acknowledgement. Now, I don't know what age you came to the point where you realized that you were a sinner, that you realized that without the salvation that Jesus Christ can give, that if you did not accept him as your Savior, that you were going to die and go to hell. Now, I do know that some churches have stopped preaching about hell. They preach about heaven, but they don't teach about hell. But the fact of the matter is there is a place for those who are redeemed, and there's a place for those who have never accepted Christ as Savior. The redeemed will spend eternity with the Lord. The lost will spend eternity in hell with the devil and his angels. And the question is, have you accepted the Lord as Savior? I realized as a young boy that I was lost. You know, I was sick and tired of getting drunk and smoking cigarettes and running with fast women at the age of 6. Was I a sinner at the age of 6? Now, my dad is sitting over here. He could probably tell you that in kindergarten, I saw something another boy had and I wanted it and I took it home. I was a thief in the kindergarten. Yeah. But at the age of 5 years old, I took something home and my mother said to me, "Where'd you get that?" And I told them, "Somebody gave it to me." So I was not only a thief, I was a liar. You say, "Well, would God send you to hell because of that?" Yes. You say, "Well, doesn't the Lord love you?" Of course he loves me. Why do you think Jesus came? But sin is sin. And sin divides us from God. And God doesn't want that division. He wants us to have a sweet relationship with him. And he provided a way of salvation. And I remember the next day being so embarrassed to have to take back that horse and cowboy and put it back on the table and hear that boy say, "Oh, I wondered where it went." I wanted to blame somebody, but I'd already been a thief and a liar. But we need a Savior. And God was willing to send his Son to be that Savior. To realize and to acknowledge that I needed one. And at a young age, accepted Christ as my Savior. We find now in verse 7a. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord." Now, we know that John wrote this book, and he never refers to himself in the first person. And it just always is the one that Jesus loved or something along that line. But he says, "It is the Lord." It's great when we recognize we need the Lord. But what about those who have never heard about the Lord? What about those who have no idea of the need of a Savior? I mean, there's religion all over this world. And as Kim found, as we talked about her earlier, she found that all of them led nowhere. But if we come to Christ, it leads us somewhere. For he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. It is the Lord. We find that he told Peter. Peter, of course, is the spokesman. He is the one that is the vocal person. He is the one that wanted to go fishing. He is the one that is probably the one that's encouraged him to stay up all night long. And now this person on the shore says, "Throw the net on the other side," and they have caught this great amount of fish. The Bible is going to tell us in verse 11 that's 153 fish they caught. That's quite a haul. That's more than the 7 people plus Jesus can eat. What do you think they're going to do with the rest of them? You're going to sell them. Yes. But then we find the fellowship. Do we want to have fellowship with the Lord? I think so. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together in His name, what? He is there. He's in the midst. Even right now, our Lord and Savior is here for those who know the Lord. He's here. There's fellowship. The desire should be to fellowship with Him and with one another. I love coming to church and being with you all. With you all. I don't want you to think that I'm Southern. Y'all. I lived in Texas for 4 years. I determined not to say y'all. I was successful. It is the Lord. Notice it continues. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I mean, it was so heavy, they couldn't pull it into the boat. They couldn't get it up. And verse 9 says, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Did Jesus need their fish? No, he didn't need their fish. He had some already cooking. How many of you like fish for breakfast? Rudy says it's good at any time of the day. Rudy, you're the only one. I guess you get all the fish for breakfast. They've been working hard all night long. They'd caught nothing until now. They're hungry. And we find that they have fish and bread. Verse 10, Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. You know, we could take a spiritual application from this, that as a church, we're to throw out the net. That we're to throw out the word. We're to throw out that which would entice others to come to know the Lord as Savior. And we bring the net back in, and there are times in which we catch nothing. And we're to do what? Throw out the net again. And again. And again. And again. Verse 12 says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Don't you think that's a good thought when we're going to have food in just a little bit? Come and dine. You know, Jesus' invitation was always come. Here it's come and dine. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. His desire still is for you to come unto Him. For He is the one that can provide a way of salvation. The other disciples came to help with the great fish. They caught 153, and Jesus says, come and die. Verse 12 continues, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Christ. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. It will not be too long before he will say, now go. Go into all the world. Making disciples. So we are to come to Him and we are to go with the Word. Have you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? Have you come to Him? And if so, are you busy casting out the net? Shall we stand together if you would please? We're going to sing Just As I Am as the invitation song. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you. About a spiritual need. will give you the opportunity to come and to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing at this time the invitation song, we ask that the Spirit would move and touch hearts. Lord, you know the need of each and every one of us in this room. And Lord, we pray that you would reveal that need, making it clear, convicting us, Lord. And Lord, may we leave this day with a right heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.